Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And of course, we do believe in there are two ordinances of the church. I believe that's verified in the church epistles that is to be practiced by the church. And that is, of course, the ordinance of baptism. And the ordinance of baptism. And then there's the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. Those are the two ordinances of the church. Now, those are very symbolic, and those are very important. Baptism is a one-time thing. It represents our salvation. But the Lord's Supper is a repetitive thing, something that you do over and over and over again, and that represents our fellowship with the Lord. Or if you want to say it another way, maybe help you to learn how to keep the parts there. Baptism deals with our union. It shows our union with Christ. But the Lord's Supper deals with our communion with Christ. Amen. And there is a difference. There is a big difference. You can't have communion with the Lord unless you know Him, unless you are saved. There's got to be that union with the Lord before there can be communion with the Lord. And I personally think that if a person knows the Lord as his personal Savior, has that union with Him, has that connection with Him, has that relationship with Him, I believe that there will be the communion with Him as well. There'll be that intimacy. Amen? There'll be that intimacy. If there's anything that our churches as a whole are starving for, and that's intimacy with the Lord. Intimacy with the Lord. Communion. Walking with Him. Having close fellowship with the Lord. And I'm glad God, through Jesus Christ's death on the cross, His death enables us to know God. We seen that this morning. But His death also allows us to get close to God. Amen? Just didn't let us get connected to God, but it lets us get close to God. Amen? And I'll tell you, we ought to desire to get close to the Lord. If you've ever been close to the Lord, you'll know when you're not. If you ever have been intimate with the Lord, you'll know. Nobody will have to tell you. You'll know when there's distance between you and Jesus. The whole purpose, main purpose behind the Lord's Supper, my friend, is just to recall our thoughts back to Him. Is get us back to refocusing on Him. It's a service of remembrance. It's a service of commemoration. One of the things that all of us battle now, and will battle as long as we're alive, is that of forgetfulness. We'll battle that. Jesus knew that. That's why I believe that He instituted the Lord's Supper for the church to practice. Why? So He said, "This do in remembrance of me." He knew we'd be prone to forget. Boy, don't we? Amen. Boy, it's easy to even sit on fundamental pews and hear Bible preaching and go to a good church and still forget, still get away. Listen, I'll be honest with you. And I mean, I enjoyed the service this morning. I enjoyed preaching, had good liberty to preach. But if you'd have preached that message 20 years ago, there'd have been people weeping all over the building. There wouldn't have been hardly a dry eye in the house to talk about and magnify what Jesus did for us on the cross. But our hearts have become iced over. Our hearts have become cold. Our thoughts, my friend, are carnal instead of spiritual. And it takes an enormous amount to move us. You know, listen, you can tell how close you are or how far away you are. We'll read the scripture in a minute. Amen. You can tell how close or how far away you are by how much it takes to move you. Amen. Amen. I mean, listen, every song ought to be moving to us. The preaching ought to be moving to us. In fact, we ought to be moved before we ever even get to church. Our prayer life ought to move us. Our devotions ought to move us. Amen. We're a people that should be moved in a Godward direction. But the Bible said here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, in verse number 17, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that ye come together." I want you to notice that statement. It will be repeated more than once down through these verses about coming together. Now, I know there is in our area, and not just in our area, but spread out through these hills, there are people that are given to what they call home churches. Read my lips. That is not scriptural.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's not scriptural. They had them in the church. They had them in their homes in the New Testament for the purpose of starting a church. Not avoiding going to one.
Amen.
Well, amen. We had a family here not long ago, and I asked them, I said, where do you go to church? They said, well, we just kind of do the home church thing. I said, oh, okay. I didn't say anything, but I was thinking it. Amen. The Bible says when we come together, hey, I want to ask that crowd, who's your pastor? How many missionaries you support? You ever hold the Lord's Supper? How many people do you baptize? Well, amen. It's getting quiet. It don't matter to me. I know it's right.
Amen.
But anyway, the Bible said, and when they come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together, well, there it is again. I believe without even going into seeing what the words mean, I believe it's pretty clear that come together suggests an assembly. I believe that identifies not just an assembly, but I believe it identifies here a set aside specific location. If you're going to come together, you're going to come together in a specified place. That's why we have a church building. Listen, we know where RBT is going to be meeting. It's not up for a matter of discussion whose house or what, where. This is the designated place. But he says, for first of all, when you come together in the church. Well, I like that. It's pretty plain. When you come together in the church. I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, I believe we've heard that statement already before. When you come together, therefore, into, everybody still with me? Say the next word. Into one place.
Amen.
I'm not preaching what I think, but there it is. I'm not even preaching that, I'm just reading it. Amen. When you come together, therefore, into one place. He's addressing the people of God at Corinth. When you come together, assemble together, as Hebrews 10:25 says, he says, come together into one place. This is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before the other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What he's doing now is addressing the irreverence that the church of Corinth was practicing at the during this special occasion. They were treating it just like a luncheon. They were treating it as a time to just drink and get drunk. Amen? And verse 22, what? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Despise ye the church of God? And shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup which he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily or irreverently or unfit shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, irreverently, unfit, amen, unworthily. Here the Bible says, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Word for damnation there is judgment. He drinks and brings upon himself judgment. It's a serious thing tonight. I remember my pastor years ago, he would say the Lord's Supper kindly has got you hemmed up in a corner. He said, some didn't come, say, well, I just won't go, therefore I won't partake. Well, then they're guilty of disobedience. They're guilty of avoiding what God said for us to do. Amen? And then those that are here say, well, I'm not going to partake and I'm not right. God says, examine yourself. Examine yourself. The Lord's Supper was used by the Apostle Paul as a means of church discipline. He used the Lord's Supper to cause people to look at their life and deal with sin in their life. Examine themselves and to get right with God. Verse number 30, for this cause many are weak, sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, here comes our statement again, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. So there's a lot of preaching, a lot of things, a lot of instruction down through these verses before us tonight. Now this is the chapter that deals with the guidelines and the church information and church instruction as to the Lord's Supper. We have no reason to be in ignorance concerning the Lord's Supper tonight because it is before us. We know what the Bible says about it. But there are three things I pointed out. I wrote down, and I've said this several times. In verse 27 and 28, there's an inward look that's necessary. There's an inward look. He said, I want you to examine yourself. Now, what he did not say was examine your brother. What he did not say is examine others. But he did say examine yourself. Now, we don't like that. We'd rather examine others. We'd rather be the one that observes the faults of others. But here it says in verse 27 and 28, for us to examine ourselves. Amen. Now that word examination, friend, is it's more than just a surface look. It talks about looking down into. It's talking about turning over and looking under. Amen. Digging it out and looking everywhere to see if there is unrepented sin in our life. See if there's things in our life that is not pleasing the Lord. So in verse number 27 and 28, there's an inward look that deals with examination. And then you move on to back into verse 22 and verse 24, there is a backward look. A backward look. We got those reversed there, but there's a backwards look. Verse 22 through 24. What do you mean a backward look? He said you're to look back. In essence, he's saying this, do in remembrance of me. Don't forget what I've done for you. Don't forget Calvary. Don't forget the price that I paid for your soul and for your salvation. Don't forget that. So God wants us to look back. Amen? And not forget that. I know we're in a busy time of the year. The worst time of the year. The worst time of the year for business. Amen? I think Miss Shannon said that she's been wide open since Thanksgiving. And probably the truth is known about all of us that we don't see no slowing down till 3 or 4 more weeks yet. Just a wide open time of the year, and I'll tell you, it's a good opportunity to get backslid. That's about right. Because you get so busy, you'll let your Bible reading slip, you'll let your prayer life slip, you'll let your devotion slip, you come to church about 3/4 of the way out of the will of God, and your heart's not right, your mind's not right, amen, and you come and expecting a miracle. Amen. And it just don't happen. God says not only is there to be a backward look that deals with commemoration, look back and realize what I've done for you and don't forget it. I found out I don't get cold when I'm around Calvary. Amen. I found out I don't get carnal when I'm around Calvary. God wants us to hang around the cross. God wants us to hang around what He did for us. Don't get too far from the price. Don't get too far from the blood. Don't get too far from His mutilated body. The further away from Calvary you get, the easier it is to get cold. The further from the cross you get, the easier it is to get carnal. Amen. Can I add another C in there? The further you get away from the cross, the easier it is to get critical. Amen. Amen. That's right. So God says, I want you to look backwards. And I want you to remember what I've done for you. He said, I want you to look inward by way of examination. And then there's a third look. He said, I want you to look ahead. I want you to look forward. He told them there in this verse, in verse 26, for as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death, here it is, till He come. Yeah. Amen. The promise here is, I'm coming back. And guess what? When we get to heaven, we won't need the symbolism. We won't need that which is only symbolic of the blood. We won't need that which is only symbolic of the body of Jesus. Because we'll be there, my friend, literally being able to see the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Now, I personally don't believe some of these photographs that you see of supposedly about Jesus.
Right.
Had a little trickle of blood here and a little cut there. I'm going to tell you, listen, I believe that when that cat of nine tails got through with him and his entrails hanging out and the meat pulled off the bones, my friend, listen, and most men never even passed the scourging. They might have been, my friend, told the penalty was crucifixion, but most of the time they never made it that far. They died in the scourging.
Amen.
Jesus didn't come to die in the scourging.
Amen.
The Bible said, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. Jesus knew He couldn't die until He got hung on the tree.
Amen.
Amen. You say He was feeble and weak and looked like He wasn't going to make it. Oh, no. I believe if they'd have had Him cut in two, He'd have still made it. Because He come down here for that reason. To go to a tree. Amen. And die under the curse of God.
Amen.
For our sins.
Amen.
What a Savior. What a wonderful Lord that we have.
Amen.
I believe He has the right to tell us, don't forget me. I believe He has the right to tell us, don't forget. Remember me. Amen. Keep your mind on me. Don't wander too far from the cross.
Amen.
Amen. Well, amen. Amen. A lot of times you get cold and carnal and critical and callous and complacent and all of that. And you can, if you'll just stop and look just for a minute, you'll see where you've got away from really being thankful what He's done for you. This, what we're having tonight, the Lord's Supper, is at a great opportune time. It is in this time of national recognition, of thanksgiving. And we're headed in now to the Christmas time when we celebrate, my friend, the birth of the Savior, God's gift to mankind. Oh, this is a great opportunity to be thankful for the gift. Amen? 1 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift.
Amen.
That's good, isn't it? But there is the inward look, the backward look, and then there's the forward look. The inward look was that of examination. The backward look was that of commemoration. But the forward look is that of anticipation. Brother Stallard, we're anticipating the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus is coming. I don't believe that. Doesn't change it.
Amen.
It don't change it. All the world can join in and have a united one voice that said, we don't believe He's coming. It won't change a thing.
Amen.
If all the religious crowd, my friend, goes completely loose and liberal and said, we don't believe He's coming. Don't change a thing. He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there you may be also, and He cannot lie.
Amen.
Amen. There was like 109 specific, detailed predictions, prophetical predictions about the Lord's first coming. And He fulfilled them all. He came the first time. Just like the Bible said, He was on time.
Amen.
He arrived on time. He died on time. He left out of here on time. Let's back that up. He arose on time. And then he left out, ascended on time. And then guess what? He's going to come back on time. He's not going to be late. He's going to come on time. Amen. He's coming and I'm leaving.
Amen.
Amen. Key's right over there. You can have my vehicles if you're still here. Have my house, my car, my dogs. Amen. You can have it all. Amen. My clothes. You can have it all. I won't need it. I'm out of here. Thank God I'm going to be a Jesus. Amen. Yes, sir. That's a promise from the Word of God. But that's the way it looks. But I want to just share something with you. And this is simple. This is simple. But as you notice the table before us tonight, it's just plain. It's just plain. We'll uncover it here in just a few minutes, and what's on this table tonight is really not attractive to the flesh. They're not lining up out in the yard. If we'd have put it on the sign tonight, Lord's Supper tonight, there wouldn't have been too many show up. In fact, I was hesitant about even announcing it this morning. The world is not attracted to that. There's nothing appealing to that. It's just plain. Back in Exodus chapter 12 is where it all started. The Passover. You know what? Just plain. The lamb and the bitter herbs. They had to eat. They were saved. The message of Exodus 12 was they were saved by a substitute. The lamb died. The innocent died so that the people could go free.
Amen.
They were led out, Brother Rob, because of a substitute. And that's what I preached about this morning. We're saved because of a substitute.
Amen.
God could not overlook the broken law, as we talked about this morning. God couldn't just let us off the hook. That had to be satisfied.
Amen.
That transgression and that broken law had to be satisfied.
Amen.
Had to be. God set it in motion and it had to be satisfied. But God knew we couldn't satisfy it. So He satisfied it for us. In His Son Jesus.
Amen.
Well, that's good. I like that.
Amen.
But listen, what's on the table tonight is not really appealing. It's not really attractive. It's just plain. There are no menus. You know, you go to a restaurant, there's menus. In other words, you have selections. Well, I don't like that, so I'll have this.
Right.
Well, there's no menus tonight. God is saying by this, you either have the lamb, you either receive the lamb, partake of the lamb, or you don't have nothing else up here.
Right.
There's nothing else up here.
Amen.
Amen. There's nothing else on the table tonight except that which represents Jesus.
Amen.
His body and His blood.
Amen.
That's it. Amen. I wrote down here, there's no menu. There is no selections. And I wrote this down a minute ago, there's no sweets. A lot of people would love to identify with Jesus and accept Jesus if He would cater to their sweet tooth. Amen. They wouldn't mind getting saved if there was just a big variety of options on the table. But it's not. It's Jesus or nothing. It's Jesus or nothing. People's going to heaven are a Jesus people. We're a people that's accepted the Lamb. We're a people that, my friend, according to Exodus 12, not only have been delivered by His blood, but also we have been instructed to eat the lamb.
That's right.
Exodus 12, they were to feed on the lamb. All of it, the Bible says.
Amen.
A lot of people want the deliverance that will come through the blood of Jesus, but they don't want to feed on the lamb. How long has it been since you fed on the Lamb of God?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. But there are no menus, no variety, no options. Amen. There's no sweets. There's no selections. There's no alternatives. It's Jesus or nothing. It's the Lamb or nothing. But isn't that the message of the Bible? Isn't that the message of the Bible concerning salvation? It's Jesus or nothing. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other.
Amen.
For there is none other name given under heaven and among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the message of the Bible. It's Jesus or nothing. Amen. Jesus doesn't cater to the flesh. Jesus does not appeal to the flesh. Amen. When they were instructed to eat the lamb there in Exodus 12, they were instructed to eat the lamb with the bitter herbs. They'll be, listen, you line up with Jesus, accept Jesus, your personal Savior. I want to tell you, friend, there'll be things associated with that life and with that walk that'll be a bitter experience. I would be lying to a person to tell you if you get saved, you'll never have any more problems. I'd be lying to tell you if you come to know Jesus, accept the Lamb of God as your personal Savior, have the blood applied to your life, that everything will be hunky-dory, you'll never get sick and you'll never get poor. I wish that was true. Amen? But there's some bitterness, brother. There's some bitter experiences that come with the Lamb. But we should be willing to deal with the bitter herbs, especially thinking about the sacrifice of the Lamb. Can you imagine putting that bitter herb in your mouth and start whining and complaining? I can't believe that I've got to go through this. I can't believe that I've got to put up with this. I can't believe that they're talking about me like that. I can't believe they're treating me this way. Yeah, but what did the Lamb go through? Was anybody sympathetic toward the Lamb? Was anybody sympathetic toward Him being crucified, who knew no sin, who became sin for us? Did anybody take His feelings into consideration? When they were using the scourge, the cat of nine tails, were they considerate of His feelings? Did they wonder if it hurt? Oh, I don't think we should complain about the bitter herbs associated with the Lamb. We need to be thinking, Lord, I'm glad I'm eating the bitter herbs. I really was supposed to go through what the Lamb went through. That was my death. You know, God said there in Exodus 12, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. The blood of that Lamb had to be shed. The innocent died for the guilty. They put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. And when God came through and seen the blood, He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. No blood, death prevails. The Lamb died so we could go free. God saw that blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. He said, well, there ain't no way to nothing around here to die. It's already dead. Death has already come here. Death has already come here. The doorpost and on the lintel had blood on it. And the death angel said, well, death's already here. That's why I'm in good shape tonight. Because I got the blood of Jesus applied to my account. Amen. And so when judgment looks at me, judgment says, well, I can't kill him. He's already dead. Amen. Amen. The judgment of God looks at me and says, well, I can't touch him. He's already dead. You can't kill a man twice. And once a man's dead, he's free from the curse of the law. Do you know that? Man can be guilty of everything in the book, but once he's dead, he's free. Amen. You've never seen him roll a coffin into a courtroom.
Amen.
You've never seen him, my friend, strap a corpse up on the witness stand.
Right.
I can't help if you are dead. You're going to jail, buddy. Yeah, about 3 or 4 days, you'll be letting him out. I guarantee you, buddy, when he pulls a Lazarus on him, begins to stink, they'll let him out. They'll throw him out, carry him out. Amen. God says, I can't judge Preacher Rackley because death's already been there. Amen. Wasn't my death, it was His death.
Amen.
Jesus' blood, thank God. Amen. Amen. Jesus shed His blood for me. But why should I fuss and complain about the bitter times of life? And by the way, friend, listen. We ought to be able to put up with a little bitter times. Valleys, battles, hard times, difficulties. It's not going to be easy. God never said one time it's going to be easy.
Right.
Do you know of it in the Bible? I've never read it. God never promised it'd be easy. Promised it'd be worth it.
Right.
Be worth it, Brother Silas, but he never promised it'd be easy.
Amen.
Amen. We're living such a convenient, comfortable Christianity. If it's not automatic and punch a button and flip a switch and pull a string and ride it, crank it, my friend, we can't handle it. We're spoiled, what it is. Amen. We're spoiled. We couldn't have made it hardly back in Bible times. To have been identified with Jesus, brother, put you on the wrong side of the world. Amen. To be identified with Jesus was, my friend, attracted persecution to you. Amen. We want Him. We want His blood. We want to go to heaven when we die. Now, to tell you, there's more to it. God said in Exodus 12, eat the lamb.
Amen.
It's not just His blood. It's His body. Amen. Took both. Took the shedding of blood. Couldn't have been just the just couldn't be bloodshed. It had to be both.
Amen.
If it was just blood, Brother Rob, guess what? He listen, you hear these unscriptural songs that talks about just one drop of blood. Don't ever believe a word of that.
Amen.
You say, oh, preacher, you're talking about my favorite song. I don't care if it is your favorite song. It took more than one drop to save us.
Amen.
In fact, just to be scriptural about it, my friend, he shed that much blood at his circumcision. Could that save us? No. He shed several drops of blood, my friend, at Gabbatha. He shed more than that at Pilate's hall.
Amen.
A trail of blood all the way to the cross. And my friend, to make sure he shed it all, the soldier pierced his side. And my friend, and out came blood and water. He shed it all. It wasn't spilt. You spill something, that's an accident. You say, oops, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. But when something's poured, it's on purpose. Thank God His blood was shed. It was poured out for our sins.
Amen.
Thank God. Saved people are attracted to this.
Amen.
We don't have to have the menus, and we don't have to have the sweets, and we don't listen, I'm talking about spiritually now. We don't have to have all that. Some would say, well, preacher, I wouldn't mind having the lamb, but make sure all the bitter herbs are gone. We don't want none of that, preacher. We want to get saved and we want to go to heaven. We want His blessings on us, you know, that sort of thing. And we want Him to answer a prayer that we pray, but we don't want no bitter times. Shame on us. Shame on us for not willing to put up with things in our life. Amen. I know people, and you do as well, that one time used to go to church. Hard time come, a difficulty come, a hardship come, and guess what they done? First thing they done, they kicked out. Shame on us. Shame on us. Amen? I want to be faithful. I don't like the bitter times more than you do. I wish they weren't involved in it. But listen, it's a part of it, and I want to be faithful. If they come, it's my portion. I want to be faithful. I want to be able to say, thank God that I've been counted worthy to eat a few bitter herbs with the Lord. I could have been the one that had to have died. I could have been that one.
That's right.
Amen. Well, anyway, praise God. You know what? There's really no danger of gluttony on the lamb. I've not seen too many. Have you met any that's had so much of Jesus, they're just... And they gave a prayer request on Wednesday night. Y'all pray for me. I've been eating so much of Jesus. I'm so full I can't hardly move. Ran across anybody like that? Ran across anybody like that? No. And you're not listening to one like that tonight either.
Amen.
Our problem tonight is that we've not been feeding enough.
Amen.
God said, don't eat all of it. God said, eat all of it.
Right.
What's going to be embarrassing is when we get to heaven and found out all we've been doing is snacking around on Jesus,
right,
when we could have had Him we could have all of it. Amen. Amen. Well, preach, I tell you what, I'd get saved, but if you put that on there, you're not interested. Amen. Just come on down here and you get saved, everything will be fine. You're not interested. Are you interested in being a disciple of Jesus? That's what preachers ought to start telling people. To get saved means you are being made a disciple of the Lord. Preacher, an invitation would be scriptural in saying, "Are anybody want to identify with Jesus Christ? Does anybody right now want to resign their own life and surrender their own life over to Jesus? Does anybody want to come and identify with Jesus and turn against the world and be saved by the grace of God and be a follower the last day you live of Jesus Christ? Anybody want to do that?" There wouldn't be too many. They wouldn't be too many. They wasn't in Jesus' day. Amen. Oh, he had a bunch of followers at times. But all they was interested was a meal.
Right.
They had was hungry and was wanting something to eat. Or they're sick and was wanting a healing. They wasn't wanting a master. They was wanting a meal. Or they was wanting a miracle. They wasn't wanting the master.
Amen.
John chapter 6, classic example of that. Multitudes followed him and he fed them. My friend with the 5 loaves and 2 small fishes, they followed him. Thought he was the greatest thing. As long as he was feeding them, Brother Carroll, they thought he was the greatest thing that's ever walked on the planet.
Right.
Till he started laying it down.
Amen.
When he started putting it down on there, the Bible said hard sayings.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
When he started putting that on them and said, "Except you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no part in me," son, they started leaving like flies. That whole multitude that he just got through feeding, Brother Aaron, turned their back on the loving, wonderful Lamb of God and walked away.
Amen.
They didn't want a Savior. They didn't want a Lord. They didn't want a real relationship with Him. They didn't want to know God. They just wanted some little temporary relief. And I'm just going to be honest with you. Most people's mentality of Jesus is nothing more than a Santa Claus mentality.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Don't demand nothing out of us, just little wish lists and get what we want and go on our merry way until next year.
Amen.
But that's not Jesus.
Amen.
Hello? That's not Jesus.
Thank you.
He deserves our loyalty. He deserves our attention. He deserves our affection. He deserves our perseverance. He deserves our endurance. He deserves our separation. He deserves our service. He deserves it.
Amen.
And He allows this to be put down as a church ordinance just to remind us of how much He deserves. You know, if we're not careful, it'll be about us, what we deserve. Well, I can't believe this has happened to me. You know? Well, who are we? Amen? Who are we? We ought to be thinking about Him.
Amen.
We're thinking about what Jesus went through. Amen? I'm just talking about, brother, what's on the table tonight is sufficient.
That's right.
What's on the table tonight is sufficient. You don't need no more.
Amen.
Amen. Some might say, "Preacher, I wouldn't care to eat that tonight, but it don't look like it ain't big enough. Not enough on there. Oh, it's sufficient."
That's right.
You say, "What's on there?" It's that which represents the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus, and that'll be sufficient, thank God, to save us and to take us all the way home.
That's right.
We don't need no more. Amen. But to identify, listen. Boy, the Lord just showed me this. In Exodus chapter 12, the Passover. You know the message there should be this. Don't eat on the lamb if you're not planning on leaving Egypt. Don't try to get under His blood, the blood and the protection of the lamb's blood, if you're not planning on eating leaving Egypt. Exodus chapter 12, He told them, "When you eat this, eat the lamb, all of it with the bitter herbs. He said, you eat it with your loins girt and your shoes on. And staff in hand. In other words, you want to let everybody know, praise God, I'm eating the lamb and I'm leaving. The lamb's going to get me out of here. Thank God. Amen. Amen. Don't listen. A lot of people don't want the lamb because they're not interested in leaving. They'd be getting saved from here to Michigan. They'd be lined up here to Michigan. A few told them, said, look, just come down here and get saved. Don't matter whether you ever live for God or not. Don't matter if you're planning on serving the Lord or not. Don't worry about that. Just come on and accept Jesus. We want to add your numbers up and send it into the religious periodical today so we could tell everybody we had a whole bunch saved. But how many people's really wanting the lamb in their life? And that lamb's going to, you're leaving. Why would a saved person want to be worldly? I read it this morning, the passage in 1 John chapter 2. The Bible said, the world passeth away. Amen. Why would anybody want to be worldly when it's passing away?
Amen.
Amen. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hey,
man, when I went to that altar January 20th, 1981, I didn't go sign up for a popularity contest. I didn't go up there to make a deal with God to get me out of a mess. I didn't go up there to get God to soothe my troubled conscience. I went up there, brother, with total reservation or unreservation of turning my life over to Him.
Amen. Right. Amen.
I'd made a mess of my life for 20 years. I went there with the intention, God, this is it. Tonight I'm taking the lamb. I'm identifying with the lamb. I'm wanting to, amen. And I want the lamb to know I'm leaving.
Amen.
Amen. I'm leaving.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Eat the lamb and the bitter herbs with the staff in hand, the shoes on, and your loins girt. Preacher, I don't mind eating the lamb if I can have my PJs on and take it easy. No, if you identify the lamb, you'll have to start marching just at any time.
Amen.
Because Egypt don't like the lamb.
Amen.
The Egyptians didn't feed on the lamb. They eat the onions and the garlics and the melons. Hey, man. They didn't eat the lamb. All because of Jesus. We need some young people in this church, moms and dads in this church, that'll fall hopelessly head over heels in love with the Lamb.
Amen.
Devote their life to the Lamb's cause.
Right.
Amen. I wonder really how many people really want other people to be saved. I asked a lady one time, I believe it was in South Carolina, let me give you this example. I think I've mentioned this for you in North Carolina. In that 7-week revival, there was a girl, Maria, had gotten saved. Her mama had requested prayer for her daughter to get saved, Brother Chuck, numerous times. Well, all of a sudden, she got saved in that revival that I got saved in. I was the first one to get saved, first one to surrender to preach. Well, she got saved in that revival. 7 weeks. She got saved in it. And I mean, went out for God, wide open. Started dressing right. Carried her Bible to school. Started doing right, witnessing. Just a good godly example. And all of a sudden, her mama, who had been praying, oh, I want her to save. I want to see my daughter saved. All of a sudden, her mama started saying, now, you don't have to go that far. I'm glad you're saved, but you don't have to go off the deep end. And you don't have to go this far. You know what it was? She passed her mama up. Her mom had been saved for years. And this girl hadn't been saved but just a few days. And all of a sudden now, the young teenage girl, is apparently in love, a greater love for God than the mama was. And the mama started, every time she was at the house, every time she got a chance, throwed water on that fire. Just kept throwing water on that fire. Degrading her for dressing right. Degrading her for taking her Bible to school. Degrading her for being a Christian and wanting to identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. And she got sick of it. Anybody in the world should have been for her living for God. It would have been her mama.
Amen.
If anybody ought to fan that fire, it would have been her mama.
Amen.
A lot of parents may want their children saved, but how saved? How saved? But anyway, listen. Well, there's a lot of other things we could say, my goodness. But here we find, Brother Josh, I want you to go ahead and be making your way to sing that song. The real main emphasis tonight, it's just a reminder, don't forget what I've done for you. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the opportunity tonight to stand before this congregation and share this few words. Lord, I know I didn't hardly even touch the surface of things that could have been said, maybe even should have been said. But Lord, maybe, just maybe, Lord, hopefully and prayerfully, Lord, something was said tonight that would have, not just tonight, but also this morning in the service, that would stir our affection and devotion and our loyalty for Jesus. Lord, I pray you'll help every young man and every young woman in this building. Dear Father, those that claim to be saved, that they, Lord, tonight will get in this old-fashioned altar and say, God, Lord, I'm not interested from this day forward. I'm not interested in popularity. I'm not interested in pleasures. I'm not interested in possessions. I'm not interested in prosperity. I'm interested in pleasing God. Lord, I want your purpose brought to pass for which you saved me. Today, this day forward, I've run up the white flag of surrender. This day forward, Lord, I submit myself to your authority, to your control. This day forward, Lord, I'm yours. Lord, if I have to eat bitter herbs, Lord, if I have to put up with criticism, if I have to put up with mockery, dear God, I want to be lined up with you. I want to be identified with you. Lord, the world don't want to feed on the Lamb tonight. The world don't want to feed on the blood of Jesus tonight. It's repulsive to them. But dear God, it's not for us that are saved. Lord, it's attractive to us. And hallelujah for the great privilege to be identified with the broken, mutilated body of Jesus and the shed precious blood of our Savior. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And we just pray that there will be, dear God, a spirit of worship in this place for the price that was paid for our sins. Father, have your way now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Ask Brother Josh, if he will, to go ahead and sing this song. And while he's singing this song, if the Lord's nudging your heart and dealing with your heart about getting in the altar tonight, examining yourself and dealing with things in your life. You might be here tonight and you, just to be honest, you may have gotten cold on the Lord. Just to be honest, you may say, preacher, I've allowed distance come between me and the Lord. There was a time, not long ago, preacher, my heart beat for Jesus. There was a time not long ago, preacher, that my heart was on fire. And I felt that intimacy and that closeness. And I felt that touch of God. But preacher, it's gone. I've lost that. I've got preoccupied and my focus got on other things and started talking more about my problems than I did Jesus. And Lord, I've got cold. You might need to get in the altar and say, God, forgive me. Forgive me for my coldness. Forgive me for being critical. Forgive me for compromising. Forgive me, Lord. I want to identify with the Lamb. I want to identify. I want everybody to know that I'm a Christian. Jesus didn't die in a corner, Brother Silas. Did y'all hear that statement? Jesus didn't die in a corner. Jesus didn't die in obscurity. He died there in plain view. Open shame. hanging between heaven and earth. He wasn't ashamed to be the sacrifice for you. That lamb that died there in Exodus 12 wasn't ashamed to be the sacrifice through which the Israelites could have deliverance. Let's not be ashamed of Him. We need a revival of loyalty. We need a revival of devotion.